This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. To No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zachary Valenti, and I am your third host.
I'm pulling out the Zachary
this week. Do we have to call you Zachary now?
It's what my grandmother called me when she was mad.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think that's our cue then, Sarah, to just act as mad grandmothers for this entire episode.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to No Bad Ideas. This is a show that is based all around the idea that you can find material for a good story anywhere, even in the worst ideas that humanity has ever had. That's why every week we bring you a couple of bad ideas. Each host brings a bad idea. He or she shares it with the other hosts who are suitably horrified and shocked and aghast at how terrible some parts of humanity sometimes act. And then we have a very short span, just 5 minutes, to try to see if we can spin the concept for a good story out of those bad ideas.
Oh, yeah.
How are you guys feeling today? Are you excited to get some bad ideas?
I'm excited because I have the first bad idea.
Ooh.
So.
Which I am terrified about. I'm also terrified about the idea that I have later on.
Oh, no.
Excellent. Excellent. Terror. This is good.
This is just wall-to-wall terror for me today.
Well, the terror, that is apt because my idea comes from the Twitter account Best of Next Door. If you are not aware of the site Next Door, it is sort of a social network for people who live in actual neighborhoods together, and it can get wild. The Twitter account Best of Next Door sort of trolls the site and finds gems,
right,
and puts them on the internet for all of us.
The sort of thing that would be a shame if only the community saw it.
Right,
sort of thing that must be shared
with the wider world.
Yes,
and so I'm going to share this with
good
you.
Or bad.
The title of the post is, can I sue my beekeeper neighbor?
How?
Can you?
Unclear. But
I know we're not supposed to covet them, but they didn't say anything about suing.
I mean, Leviticus is nothing but a set of rules.
By the way, dear listeners, you're going to be able to find a link to this article or to this post.
You'll find a link to the post in the description. And I will just read it and give you a glimpse into the mind of this person and all of the ideas that they have. Every day, I see my neighbor's bees flying around my garden, stealing the pollen or nectar from my flowers.
Oh, no.
Using it.
Then,
come on.
Then, Zach, the bees go back to my neighbor and create honey. My neighbor then harvests the honey and sells
it at
Pepper Place Market for a profit.
This is way, way pettier than I expected. I thought that it was going to be that, like,
no,
the bees had stung his dog or, you know, there had been some actual
right,
damage.
I'm allergic.
Right. And right. He doesn't.
Oh, no.
I'm like, all right.
I have never received so much as a jar of honey as compensation. And every day, spelled as one word, my neighbor's bees trespass and steal my flowers. I was stung once when I was a child, so I know how dangerous bees can be.
Wow. Oh my God.
This
humanity, you're so broken.
This is deliciously
lowercase petty. I, by the way.
so broken.
The way
Stop
I see it.
It
This is equivalent to a person's dog coming into my yard to steal balls or tools then giving it back to his owner, who then sells it for profit.
Yes, that famous case that we're all so familiar with.
That very common everyday thing.
So now that this person has explained this in a very relatable situation, do I have legal ground to sue?
No!
What types of things should I begin documenting in order to prepare for a legal battle?
Can you imagine weighing the flowers every day?
Right, you gotta measure the pollen levels, mark it very clearly.
What would a fair settlement amount if my neighbor doesn't want to take this to court? All right, I think he means what would a fair settlement be if my neighbor doesn't want to take this to
the
court.
The collective time back that everybody spent reading this tweet in the world.
Yeah, that sounds
and
about right.
And it ends with poetry. Thanks for the help.
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh my God, guy.
Wow, what a petty human being.
I know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And like, if you're asking at home, Gabrielle, how do you know that it's a guy?
It's a guy. Trust me.
All right, I'm going to put 5 minutes on the clock, gentlemen.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, so there's...
neighborly feud.
Yeah. I feel that there's a couple of avenues of attack here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So one is kind of the... just sort of a comedy about a guy that lives next to a beekeeper and he's deathly allergic to
or
the bees,
afraid of bees
or afraid of the bees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like about all the like different ways that he tries to get rid of his neighbor, and it's all kind of bumbling and it always kind of, you know, doesn't work out for him, and every time that he does it, like, his neighbor's life gets better in some way, shape, or form, something like that.
Interesting.
Sort of a reverse Mr. Bean situation.
Yeah, kind of. The other idea that sort of presents itself to mind is kind of like an animated movie from the bee's perspective.
Okay.
And then it can almost be sort of this like war or secret agent bee movie where they're sent on missions to retrieve pollen from, you know, enemy territory.
Right.
That's cute.
And then it's kind of like, you know, like an exaggerated kids action movie, and the neighbor has put up all of these defenses and all these things to keep the bees out, and there's, you know, nets that they need to cut through and dangerous, what the heck eats bees? What, like, birds, I guess?
Or spider getting caught in spider
webs. Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
There's spider webs and like all these kinds of things around the precious pollen.
That is cuter and more wholesome than my like Better Call Saul-ish ambulance chaser lawyer idea where a guy tries to start a class action in a neighborhood where someone keeps bees, and so he manufactures like a case against you know the theft of all of everyone else's flowers.
That would also be kind of funny. There's sort of this young up-and-coming lawyer that he's kind of like going, I can turn anything into a case, any slight, no matter how small, I can get you money guaranteed.
Right. And there's a bet he'll make partner if this case is like
right. And then this guy shows up and it's like, all right, my neighbor's bastard bees are stealing my pollen, get me some money. And it's like, oh fuck.
My twist on that would be that he is actually like out of jail recently for malpractice.
Sort of
a Jeff Winger character.
Foreclosed home, and like reaches for the straws of getting like, you know, the mortgage paid by like being like, I guess I have flowers on my property that your bees are taking from.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but wait, so is the lawyer the neighbor in that situation?
One of the, yes. And
okay, okay.
It can sort of slowly expand it to a class action suit. I guess the first idea that you had of like, it's the neighbors and the guy who doesn't want the beekeeper sort of like tries to do these things
to
that
sabotage.
Actually just makes their life better. My mind jumped to like, a fictional story that explains the actual natural phenomenon of like the like bees collapsing, like the bee population.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Where like somebody hates their neighbor so much that they like, you know, go to some dark web website and get like a tone generator that's supposed to stop bees,
oh,
but like
snap.
Accidentally like collapses the bee population in the United States.
I see, right.
But I don't know how...
Sort of like an EMP for bees that goes much further than...
Right. And like, and it's supposed... They think that they have it set to 10 feet. They actually have it set to, you know, 10,000 miles. Right. And...
Right. Like, they get some, like, CRISPR kit and, like, make a gene drive to, like, end the bees in the neighborhood. But it gets...
Well, in the 49-ish seconds you have left, which idea do you guys like the best?
Let's go with this CRISPR genetic pulse idea.
Cool.
Okay.
I just want to chase this down the rabbit hole a little bit farther because I'm intrigued.
Yes.
So that feels kind of like an inciting incident. Is the story then about kind of the geneticist trying to bring back the bees? Is it about kind of like trying to create the robot AVIs that are going to replace the bees? Kind of, you know, like once the bees are gone, what follows down that path?
What happens then? I think that it's Jurassic Park 7.
Ooh.
It's like a race to like stop the gene drive from killing all of the bees.
I heard that going
was
off,
time.
But I'm going to
make
one more point before
Please.
We head off to the break, which is that personally, I've always felt that there's kind of a like Jurassic Park movie that I don't know if it's better, but it's a movie, Jurassic Park movie that I think that I would like more than the ones that they put out there, which is not following the like after the dinosaurs have been cloned, but and then like when everything goes wrong, but kind of like the slow and gradual process of kind of trial and error of scientists
the
figuring it out. Like, I think that that would be a really fascinating movie. And I think kind of like the all the process of getting it, wrong.
Like the montage of weird frogs.
Yeah,
like
And you make it
and the relationships between
right,
them.
No, you make it this intense character piece. Sort of, I'm thinking sort of like Imitation Game in tone and kind of structure.
Right,
that it's like someone's dream to sort of crack this genetic code.
And there's pressure, you know. There's like, you know, hey, like you guys, we're funded by this guy, but you know, like
Mr. Hammond.
$5 billion and that's it. And you know, and like, and if you don't crack it in under this budget, then you know, like
then
this
it
is,
doesn't happen. Yeah.
And this and these animals will stay gone. Like, this is a real chance to bring back gone animals.
Right. And what are the implications of that for the animals that we, you know, that we've driven to extinction?
Exactly.
You know, so I would be down for that.
Yeah. I think that. So
call Benedict Cumberbatch.
So I'm very excited about this movie where it's them trying to recreate bees or a bee replacement or something. I think it would be a fun movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we will hopefully come up with another fun movie after the break.
Hey everyone, Gabrielle here. We're going to get right back to that next story that Sarah was mentioning in just a moment. But before we do that, we want to recommend another show we think you'd love. It's called Outliers, Stories from the Edge of History. And it's an anthology of stories by historic royal palaces and Rusty Quill. Their second season has already had some amazing stories, but the best really is yet to come. If you start listening right now, you're going to be just in time for stories about spies, code breakers, mysteries, mutiny, even a tale about Bess Raleigh, written by We Fix Space Junk's Beth Crane. So really, there's no time like the present to start listening. And you can do that on your podcast player of choice or by heading over to rustyquill.com/outliers. Okay, let's get back to No Bad Ideas.
And welcome back, dear listeners, for the second serving of Bad Ideas.
We got through the first one.
Yep.
Barely, but we did it. And now Zach is going to finish us off with something suitably terrible, we've been led to believe.
Wall-to-wall terror. I thought that
Get
was the deal.
Get ready to fear the sky.
Oh, no. There's so much of it.
From
how are we going to get away?
The Huffington Post, or I ocean. Guess HuffPost.
HuffPost?
Ocean maybe actually be pretty safe. link in the description for anybody who wants to follow along. Horrifying video for anybody who's afraid of drones.
Oh,
Colorado governor vows to, quote, get to the bottom of mystery nighttime drone swarms. Authorities don't know where the drones come from, they go, or what they're doing.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Denver, they mostly come at night. Mostly.
No.
They mostly
swarms
come at night.
Of drones Jesus. Have been spotted flying across eastern Colorado and western Nebraska since mid-December, typically between the hours of sunset and midnight.
Is there like some nuclear silos or something in eastern Nebraska? Like what is strategically important about that area?
Really good question. Know. They often fly in groups and travel along seemingly coordinated grid-like paths. On the night of December 20th, the Phillips County Sheriff's Office, along with its counterpart in neighboring Yuma County, tracked more than 16 such drones. Colorado Governor Jared Polis, Democrat, I don't know why that's important in this article.
They always tend to
signal
governors.
They pledged on Thursday to get to the bottom of the mystery flights and ensure they aren't putting people or property at risk.
They are.
Quote,
they definitely are.
It's certain they've caused a bit of a stir, he said in a statement. You don't say.
Yeah.
Polis said he had asked the Department of Public Safety to investigate, but that he hasn't yet received any substantial information beyond publicly available reports. That dovetails with just about every other government agency that might be behind the flights. They all told the Denver Post they don't know who's responsible. That list includes the Federal Aviation Administration, the U.S. Air Force, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the Department of Defense, the Environmental Protection Agency, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, the Drug Enforcement Administration, U.S. Army Forces Command, Fort Carson, Intel, Amazon, and the University of Colorado Boulder. I love that. That list includes Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, someone in there should know what the heck
What's
is up
going
with
on. Yeah.
Private drone companies operating in the area have also denied any responsibility. There's also the possibility of aliens. Anyway, FAA regulations require certified and commercial drone pilots to register their drones, maintain line of sight on the drones while in flight, fly at or above 400 feet, fly only during the daytime and never over third parties, and prohibit pilots from operating more than one drone at a time.
That all seems reasonable.
Witness reports suggest that the drones in question are likely violating at least some of those rules. Definitionally, at night, multiple, anyway.
over property.
Yes.
Yeah. Seems like most of them.
Jennifer Rollins, who was visiting rural Yuma County over the holidays, captured video footage of one of the mysterious drones in the night sky and provided it to the Post. The distant object was one of several hovering in the sky at the time, shifting up and down with red and white lights flashing.
Jeez.
It moved out of sight after about half an hour. You could see that it was rotating, she said. You could see things sticking off to the sides. It was crazy. The FAA can and does grant waivers, but without knowing who's behind the flights and if they're a recipient of a waiver, it's impossible to know if they're acting lawfully. Quote, most people are very reasonable, and they say it could be somebody mapping or doing topography, Michael Yowell, sheriff's captain in Lincoln County, told the New York Times. But you can't rule out what you don't know. Yowell estimated 30 drones are out flying every night. Washington County Sheriff John Stivers told 9 News that his office has received reports. Some of the drones are larger than 6 feet.
That's too large. That's too large.
Morgan County Sheriff Dave Martin, meanwhile, is urging residents not to commit a felony in an attempt to shoot a drone down. In 2013, the city of Deer Trail considered issuing drone hunting permits, but ultimately rejected the notion after a less than enthusiastic response from the FAA.
Drone season is now open.
I've been
duck season, drone season.
Quote, I have been made aware of several comments about shooting down a drone, Martin said. I ask that you do not use this, do not do this, as it is a federal crime. Please be patient and let our investigative efforts try to figure this out.
Wow, I love it. By which I mean it's awful.
Oh my gosh. Multiple sheriff's offices and police departments in the affected areas are scheduled to hold a closed-door meeting with federal agencies on Monday, the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office said on Facebook. Quote, there are many theories about what is going on, but at this point, that's all they are, Yuma County Sheriff told Todd Combs said Tuesday in a statement. I think we are all feeling a little bit vulnerable due to the intrusion of our privacy that we enjoy in our rural community, but I don't have a solution or know of one right now. 5 minutes.
Okay. So here's what it is. All right. So you have, let me just come up with some, let's say it's a young woman.
Okay.
Young woman. And
a shame that M. Night Shyamalan made The Happening in like
2008. Wait. No, we're going further back.
Young woman.
So she's getting married. And so visiting this town. Is it in Denver?
Don't do this to me.
Right?
Yes.
Denver, Colorado. So,
there's a lake, obviously.
There is a lake, obviously. It's true. So she's going to this town in order to like meet the guy's family. Uh-huh. But then, you know, when she gets there, she's kind of wandering around the town. And then all of a sudden, it's like, man, there's a lot of drones around here. This is kind of weird. But like, you know, nothing to worry about.
Does she buy a drone for her husband?
That's right. She does. And she's like, you know, like just like a little tiny drone. It's fine. It's okay. It's cool. All of a sudden she turns around and it's like, wow, that's weird. Why is this drone like perched on top of this building? It's almost like it's staring down at me.
It sort of flashes red and white for just a second.
Oh, wait, did I say one drone? I meant three drones. Where did those come from? Oh, wow. There's Christ. A whole bunch of drones now and they're all creepily staring at me. And so then the drones just all of a sudden launch and attack her. And it's just like, you know, and nobody knows where these drones are coming from. And it's this great, you know, almost Fritz Langian horror suspense thing.
Don't you dare bring Fritz Lang into this. Fritz Lang would never do something like that. Well, now that we've wasted half our time making a Burns joke.
Worth every second.
No. I'm glad you did it. What's interesting about that story is that, like, what makes it worse is that you assume that there's someone behind the drones.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Right. Whereas the birds just seems like chaos.
Or like, you know, sort of like, is it God that is making the birds do this? Is it the devil? Like, you know, it's
right. Is it just, you know, some pollution in the air that's make them gone crazy? Is it our fault? Like, yeah.
No,
right.
But like as soon as you started, like halfway through that article, I was all of a sudden like, my God, it's the birds, but mechanical.
But with drones.
Yeah, but with drones.
And it's like, damn it, Putin.
And I think that like, and I do think that something like the birds, though not as I was suggesting a shot for shot remake, is probably the way to go with something like this, where it is just kind of like it's a town. These drones are
and it's very rural and isolated.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody gets killed by the drones, and at first everyone's kind of like, oh, that's weird. There was an accident, I guess.
I think it could start with, like, livestock.
Sure. Yeah.
And, like, slowly escalate.
Right. But it sort of goes from kind of like, oh, it's weird. These drones are malfunctioning to kind of like, oh, no, like this.
Something or
are
someone
they being
is doing.
Hunted?
Have the robots risen up finally? Like,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, are these terrestrial, like, you know, I don't know, just like the idea of a 6-foot fucking drone is like pretty horrifying. And then like what equipment is hanging off of it, like what is it measuring,
right? And if it maps the topography of the area, like it knows everywhere that you could possibly go.
Or like, is it measuring or is it changing things?
I don't know. I don't know that you personally need to know.
Yeah, you don't need to know that.
Like, I think that, like, I'm more interested in kind of the, like, ground level story of, like, the people trying to get out of the town and kind of, you know, and is it, like, are they trying to they're probably like trying to go through by tunnels as much as possible, but there's probably not a lot of tunnels in kind of like a rural area.
Right.
They think that like maybe a car will protect them, but it turns out that like these drones can just like
level
drill
cars
through the town, through the
flip
car roof.
Over.
Right. When it's bigger than your car.
Yeah.
Right. And there's drones of different sizes.
Right. At first, you're kind of like, oh man, like the big ones are the worst. But then, you know, it's like, oh no, the small ones, you know, like they can go anywhere. They can get anywhere.
They can get into the buildings.
Yeah.
They can get into your carburetor.
Oh God, that's terrifying.
They can get into your heart.
Ugh.
Yeah. Nano drones. Yeah. That's how it, someone gets possessed or something.
Oh God.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I'm sort of now thinking just about like, what is a personal problem that the protagonist can be trying to overcome?
Right.
That would be reflected by kind of whatever is going on around
you. You could have someone who is about to leave this small community for college or for a job in the city and can't wait to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly is under siege.
Ah.
And then it's working through like their relationship with the town.
And their only help is the old coot that nobody likes because he was kind of an eccentric hunter. But now that they're being hunted, he's the only one that has the instincts to get them out alive. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's time.
Well, that's horrifying.
Yeah, seriously. This is a recent article. Like this is
I do believe this is like
from this year article.
Let me just double check.
Because part of me honestly wants it to be from like December, so like
it's
December, like 2017 or
yeah.
something. Just so there's an explanation.
I hate to say it. This is January 3rd, 2020.
No!
Yeah, 2020. Why?
Man, this year has been way weirder and way more extra in all the bad ways.
It has been
than it needs
way
to be.
More extra than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. New decade, no chill.
Yeah, seriously, just leaping into it.
Well, we hope you can chill while we say goodbye, and we'll be back soon with more bad ideas.
With more zero chill ideas.
If the way that 2020 is going is any indicator, we will not be running out of bad ideas anytime soon.
That's true.
Oh, man. This has been No Bad Ideas. Produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.